Okay, so basically, gentlemen, a very brief review. What we've spoken about is the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. We've spoken about either the Pasuk of Bechor Shebekotzer Tishbos that tells us that there's a din of pre- and post-Shemitah observance, which was 30 days, or it's Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, which is linked to the other Halacha L'Moshe MiSinais, such as Nisach HaMayim, and therefore is part of the dinim of when the Beit HaMikdash is Kayam. We've even spoken about a new Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, which is the Eser Netiyos, which is Mashma, a new Iser, if it's not Eser Netiyos. The Eser Netiyos, even before, while there was a Beit HaMikdash, the Eser Netiyos that are planted in one Beit Sa'ah, as opposed to the three mature trees, Ilonais, that are planted in a Beit Sa'ah, Eser Netiyos that are properly positioned, as opposed to the Shalosh Ilonais that don't have to be properly positioned, Shmuel said it to be a straight line. All of those are very different. The Eser Netiyos is a Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that you can go all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. The problem is, of course, that that implies that if it isn't Eser Netiyos, you cannot. And we have to explain away that Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai also. Why is that Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai not applicable b'zman hazeh? Even if you hold that the first din of Shloshim Yom was a actual diak in the Pasuk of Bechor Shebekotzer, and no longer applies if Rabbi Gamliel changed the dinim about that because he has a different drasha. All of this was the first take that we had on the overall structure of what is going on here on Erev Shviyas. And furthermore, we introduced the two concepts. We haven't explained one of them, but we did explain the other. One concept is what is called a stay ilan. And the halacha of a stay ilan is that when the Rabbanan extended the original 30-day prior to Shviyas Iser, they extended it at the time of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. They extended it all the way back to Shavuos. And that would be only if you've got an orchard. If you don't have an orchard and you've just got a regular field, which is called a stay lavan, that you'd have to stop doing plowing from Pesach. Oh my gosh. So it makes a big difference what defines a stay ilan. So we defined the stay ilan by pointing out that, first of all, we're talking about a minimum sada of 2,500 square amos, and that is called a Beit Sa'ah, which is enough area that you're able to plant these one Sa'ah of seeds in it. And we said that the trees have to be properly spread out, and doesn't mean they need to be spread out throughout the entire area, but they cannot be too close together, and they need to be spaced in a way that is sustainable. You could bring a tractor in between them, and also they need to be minimally productive. The minimally productive is that if they are fig trees, they would produce these 25 or so kilos of dried pressed figs, and that would be shishimana in the Italki. And if you've got more than three trees, then you would prorate the production in order to count a tree in terms of the minimal number of trees that you have. According to Shmuel, it would be fine even if they're planted in a straight row, and it would mean that the roots, we believe, would extend all the way to the side, which would mean all the way up to 50 amas away, which, by the way, happens to be what we do, Paskin, in terms of making certain that your tree roots in your yard don't violate someone else's pipes in his yard. You're mechuyev to make sure that those roots don't grow that far. So this is definitely a serious point. We also discussed what is so special about fig, and we pointed out that figs have a great advantage in that they have tremendous productivity because they go on all summer, and the fruits are large and identifiable, as opposed to the esrog, which is large, but there's not a lot of, as opposed to the zayit, where there's a lot of, but they're not that large and identifiable. And we saw that what we're doing when we're talking about figs is not giving a real shear about every tree. What we're saying is, look at this tree. And it wouldn't matter even if it's not a fruit-producing tree, that is to say, human edible fruit, which is called an ilan tzrak. But if it were, let's imagine it were a te'ena, how much would a tree, a healthy tree of this size, how much could it produce? If it would produce that amount of fruit, then even if it doesn't produce any fruit because it doesn't have human edible fruit, it's still considered to be something that you might be doing in order to enhance the tree up until truest. And why would you be doing it? Because you want more wood. I don't know why you'd be doing it. But if the main point is, even though there's no shemitah, if there's no fruit, but the point is that if you're doing charisha, why are you doing it if it's not beneficial to the tree and it actually will damage the tree by allowing water under the surface to disappear into the air? That hurts your tree. Must be, as people will say, he intends to use this to prepare for Shemitah. That was the basis of the period of Shavuos as being the time that you can deal with the trees. In the event that you don't have a field of trees, you could still deal with a specific tree if it's the area right around the tree, which is defined as the space of the oreh, which is the person who would be, in cases of figs, he would be picking the figs with his basket around the tree. All of that would be mutter also, but only on a tree-by-tree basis, up till Shavuos. So that's the difference of the sedeh ilan versus a non-sedeh ilan. The rest of the field of those trees that are not productive or are spaced wrongly, you'd have to stop if the Mishnah of the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim were still operative, which it is not because of Rabbi Gamliel's cancellation, then you would have to stop taking care of that field in Pesach time. Okay, as I said, none of this is really no Geya Lahalacha because of Rabbi Gamliel. And then we also pointed out very beautifully what the similar halacha would be in terms of the dinim in Baba Basra, which have to do with how much of the property did you intend to sell along with the tree, which would be needed to support the tree. We discussed that. We also pointed out the particular structures of Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether they need to be planted in a triangular way in order for the Mechir to be Chal, whether that idea would imply and that the same thing is true by Shemitah, which was a further Machlokas. And that brought us to the din, which is Halacha Hei, which I'll go over right now, which is the din of Eser Netiyah. So let's start at Halacha Hei and do our first Chazora on that. Eser Netiyot Mefuzarot Tor Beitza'ah Choshim Kol Beitza'ah Bishvilan Ad Rosh Hashanah. So over here we have a special Halacha that applies only to Netiyot, which are saplings. The Mishnah has not yet defined what's called a sapling. We'll get to that today. And here they need to be properly spaced, prorated. If they were in a straight line, doesn't count. Or if they were even circular, and the other pshat in Ataraz, there is a gate around them. Rabbi Ziran, Rabbi Ilan, Rabbi Yezer B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan say there was a halacha l'meshem Sinai of Arava, halacha l'meshem Sinai, which is not like Rabbi Shaul. The Rabbi Shaul Omer, the mitzvah of Arava and the Beit HaMikdash, which was a machlokas, whether it means you carry the Arava around the Mizbeach or you put the Arava up against the Mizbeach, walk around, is a diaraisa, because it says in the Torah, Arveina Chalosh and Rabim Shtayim, one being Arava the Lulav and one being Arava the Mikdash. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Chia, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, say actually, Arava, Nisach HaMayim, and Eser Netiyot, are all halacha l'meshem Sinai, which is against Rabbi Akiva's position. The local Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Omar, actually, Nisach HaMayim is Dvar Torah, because B'sheni v'nizkehem, which is an extra mem, B'shishi v'nizkeha, put in an extra yud instead of v'nizka, mem yud, b'shvikim mishpatam, and that's the old cheerleaders, give us a mem, give us a yud, give us a mem, and what do you got? Mayim. By the way, you should just know that that issue, when it says the Loka Rabbi Akiva, is very strongly against Tosfos, who says that this is not a serious drasha, it's just a remez, and that Rabbi Akiva agrees that it's halacha l'meshem Sinai. Over here, the Yerushalmi is saying it's halacha l'meshem Sinai argues on Rabbi Akiva. Not like that Tosfos. Okay. So that's important. It's important for other reasons I don't want to go into now. Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Chia B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, And So how come nowadays, even real zikenot, older trees, we go all the way also to Rosh Hashanah? Don't we have a new halacha l'Rosh Mi-Sinai that says only netiot? Forget about the original question, but now we have another halacha l'Rosh Mi-Sinai that only netiot, eser netiot, you can go to Rosh Hashanah. Implications are, but eser zikenot, no. Amar lei, because b'shash nitna halacha, nitna with the understanding that im bikshu l'acharosh yacharoshu, and that therefore there would be no problem. Okay. Rabbi Bo Bar Zavdi b'shem Rabbi Chunya b'kas b'schoron, Aravan Yisramayim v'esr netiot, are not halacha l'Rosh Mi-Sinai, apparently you're saying, but they're a yesod of Chagai Zechariah Malachi, the later Nevi'im. What? Polik? That means that we have to say that they're poly, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Bon B'Shem Levi. No, it could mean that Kachai Talach, I was Halach Lavash Mi-Sinai, like Rabbi Yochanan, but then it became forgotten. And now, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, were Eimed, were Maski Maldata Rishena, and that became the equivalent of the original Halacha, which teaches you an amazing thing. L'lamedcha shekol davar shebezdin noisni nafshem aliyim. If you fight for the Torah like your life is dependent on it, so full is kayim biyodei commission emalamesh mi-Sinai. Va'asiko ha'di omar Rabbi Mona, kilo davar reiku mikem, v'im reiku mikemu. So it'd be your fault if it seems to be irrelevant, you're learning. Why? It's because einatem yegeim bo, you're not treating it like your life depends on it. It's like in an armchair general sitting back in his easy chair smoking while he discusses the sugya with, I think that the prat is, it appears to me, and where's my tea? And therefore, that type of learning is not going to get you anywhere. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Chiyan, I think this is where we stopped yesterday. So this is today's new daf, which essentially is daf vav, but we've started going according to halachas in terms of the way that we're being misakim. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Chiya Barba, Rabbi Yochanan was not a big chassid of the people from Bavel, as you will recall from many different, what? You're kidding. Is somebody intelligent enough in Bavel? Anyway, so he points out to Rabbi Chiya Barba, he says, there are two things that I have to say that you people from Bavel actually were successful about. And you ended up, Salkun B'yatchon, you were the ones, I got to admit, that you were koveya two things that ended up being the way we do it in Eretz Yisrael. One is, Mavshutita Tetanita. You claimed that we're supposed to be Mishtachave on a Tainis Tzibor. Now, we never were Mishtachave because of the Isser of Evan Maskit. You're not allowed to have an Evan Maskit Lishtachavot Aleha. So this is very important to understand this Evan Maskit because it's really complex. I think it's kedai for us to take out 1 minute to understand the implications. The Evan Maskit means that midiraisa, if you are bowing down and you're in a shul and you're bowing down on Yom Kippur and it's on a floor that is made out of cut stones, that would be an Isser diraisa. Now, what type of bowing down are we talking about? So there's two types of bowing down. The technical definition of Mishtachavoya in the Torah is Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. That means you just fall on the ground. Your feet and hands, your tummy, you're entirely on the ground. That's Mishtachavoya. Now, you know what people call Mishtachavoya in Shul, like these Mamzerim do, and that is actually called Kida. So Kida means you get down on your knees, and you put your head down on the ground, And you can even spread your hands out, But that's not called Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the question is like this. How about if somebody does Kida on an Evan Maskit, but not Ishtachavaya? So that's not an Issur D'Oraisa, but it is an Issur D'Rabbana. How about if somebody does really Ishtachavaya, Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, on a carpet or a towel that is put over the ground? That is also not an Isser D'Oraisa, but it is an Isser D'Rabbanan, so that you would be mechuyev to turn to your side a little bit, make it very clear, even though you've got a towel or a carpet or whatever, that you are not really doing a Hishtachavoya, because then the Rabbanan answered it also. Okay, so if a person is mishtachave, he has to make, even on these special occasions, as we'll see in a minute, the Gemara is going to say, that he doesn't do it really pishadadayim v'raglayim, and he doesn't do it without a carpet. And that way, since both of them are gezeiros, we don't make two separate gezeiros. Now, you guys, we never used to be mishtachave at all, and you guys claimed that on a tainis tzibur, that you do that, and we're not chayish for being over if there's a carpet there. And you also made it possible, even here in Eretz Yisrael, that we took on this minhag of doing the Arava stuff on Hoshana Rabbah. So Hoshana Rabbah is your creation, so that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we have this minhag of the Nevi'im, and that, like we say afterwards, the minhag of your Nevi'im, we talk about in the Tefillah, the minhag of the Nevi'im was to take an Arava al Pi Kabbalah and to bang it, and that is partially a Zecher LeMikdash of the Hoshana Rabbah of the actual mitzvah of Arava, and that we never had over here in Eretz Yisrael, but because you guys, it ended up spreading to Eretz Yisrael as well. That is some of the approaches in this sugyas. Others say it's exactly the opposite. But what the Yerushalmi is referring to is the fact that in Bavel, they were mechadesh, that since they're going to have a sveika de yuma, if Hoshana Rabbah falls out on a Shabbos, and they're not sure that it's really the seventh day or the sixth day, because they always have the sveika de yuma. So they were koveya in the Luach Hashanah, something which affects us ad hayom, and that is Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on a Sunday. Why? Because if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Sunday, Hoshana Rabbah falls out on Shabbos. And therefore, and by the way, this has very profound, remember, implications. We spoke about Ayeka being Merumas three times a year. Aleph is Rosh Hashanah, and the Yud Hey is the Yud Chof is the Yom HaKippurim, and the Hey is Hoshana Rabbah. So they were koveya that the Aleph of the Ayeka should never fall at a time that would disallow the Hey of the Ayeka, so to speak, in terms of the din of Hoshana Rabbah, the very sweet remez. So that's what it's referring to, according to some of the other Mefarshim, and that because of that, we end up with a calendar, because of you idiots over there in Bavel, and we end up with a calendar which Lo Adu Rosh, and you wanted to make sure that we would never miss Hoshana Rabbah. That's the Chiddush. Whereas the Rabbanan de Kesar and Amrin, not so fast, Rabbi Yochanan. Av Hada Makasta. Even this shtick about doing a hishtachavoya, we don't really do hishtachavoya. We do it very shvach, because like a yom hakaza, and we make sure that we go to the side, so it shouldn't be really an itzra rabbanon. And others learn completely that this is a different thing. There's a third thing that they also did in Bava, namely that they said going from hakazas hadam is actually that we don't do even in Eretz Yisrael, and that is you only do Hakazas Adam on Risha and Revi and Shishi. Fine. That was another pshat. And then there's even other pshatim, and that, according to the Gra, it means this business of saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh, Bedilug, and leaving out some of the Halal, saying that also comes from, but whatever. Okay, so I had a lot of different pshat. Anyway, so getting back to the Mishnah, this halacha of Eser Netiyahs. Now we have a brisa. It's a very, very unclear. So what does it say? Netiyah me'ein Eser, uzekena me'ein Shalosh, which means that if you've got a Netiyah of any kind, even if it is similar to a actual zekena, meaning that it's a very, very fruitful tree, it's always going to be the din of Eser. So you cannot go until the Rosh Hashanah unless you have the full 10. And you can't say, but wait a minute, this is the equivalent of a Steilan because it's got so much production. No. And the same thing is true about an Ilan Zekena that doesn't have any fruit, that is still treated as Me'ein Shalosh, which of course doesn't make any sense, because before we said that the trees have to produce the Shishimana Bitalki, right? So if you learn this approach in the Sugya, then you have to explain it as follows. Remember that the shear that we were talking about over there, Shishim Bitalki, is referring even to non-fruit producing trees, right? When I say non-fruit, I mean no human fruit, not necessarily that they have to be seedless trees. I'm talking about, which are just ornamentals, I'm talking about not human fruit. There's no biological description of such a thing, because obviously what humans consider fruit is up to humans. It has nothing to do with botany. Okay, but anyway, so what that means is that it isn't the actual production of the tree, it's the size of the tree, correct? So if a tree of this size, had it been a fig tree, would have produced the Shishimana Bitalki. That's how we ended up explaining it, correct? So therefore, what we would be talking about over here are zikenot that are non-productive, meaning something's wrong with them. They might be diseased, whatever. But they're big, and if they would be well trees, they would be healthy trees, then they would produce it. That would be true about them as well. And therefore, it is possible to have a stay elan of trees that do not produce the Shishimana, exactly as you can have, as we said, pine trees. And if they had been fig trees, they would. The same thing is true if they're fig trees, but they're decayed inside or something's wrong with them, and they're not producing. But if they had been healthy, they would have produced. It would also be the same. So this Gemara opens up a whole new way of looking at it. And therefore, we have a stira, because etachami, understand. Netia she near eight kizikina. I mean, basically what you're saying is that this is what the Brisa that says this, the Tima in Esther, Zekanime and Shalash, starts off by saying that if you have a Natia, which is mamish, wow, it's a very fruitful tree. And it's just as powerful as an old mature tree. Then what's the din? The din is, treat it like a Zekana. So then how do you say at the end of the Brisa the opposite? That a Natia is always mayin eser. That's a contradiction. You said treat it as a kena, which means you would only need three. And now you're saying, no, you actually need 10. Make up your mind. Omer of Huna, when it says mayin eser, it means that you would need to have 10. It means she'ein neti'ah mayin shalosh. It means there's never a case where we would need the same halacha for a neti'ah that we would have for a zekena in terms of shalosh al beitza. In other words, don't tie it to me. Well, if I've got shalosh netiot that are osot kishalosh zekenot, that are osot, so you might think that if that's the case, we should be able to be matir with only three trees, and we should be able to go to the whole beitza. No, it's not true. You need 10, because remember that there's another issue of netiot, and that is their sensitivity and their vulnerability, that is the basis. But they don't have root systems like the other ones that cover the entire base. So that's a completely different issue. But that's the only point. We need 10. But that's the only point that we said that treat them like regular natiyas. But benogea the chumra, that you can't plant them, you can't plow them all the way up until Rosh Hashanah, you can only plow them up to Shavuos, over there, that is true. Treat them like Zekenot, and you can only plow until Shavuos. That's what we're saying. So there's a difference between the level of their sensitivity and the level of their root growth. And therefore, we're saying, L'chumra, we're going to actually, because remember, there's two different halachas. One element of the Netia is that you need 10. Whereas if it's a Zekena, you only need 3. And the other element is the halacha which we see in Avesinatiyas, you can go all the way to Rosh Hashanah. But at the time of the Shtei Prakim Arishanim, you could only go until Shavuos. Fine. So when the Brisa has said that we treat them as if they're zekenos, it was saying that in Achinami, you don't need 10, you need 3. That's true. But then when it says you have to treat them like zekenos, we're talking about you don't have the heter of the Netiyas to go all the way until Rosh Hashanah. You'd still have to stop at Shavuos. Okay, so then that means basically we're going to be machmir on both ends. you need 10 trees to be mat to the whole Beit Sa'ah because they don't have a root system. And secondly, they're not as sensitive, and therefore you can't go until Rosh Hashanah. Both chumras we're going to take. That's what the brides are saying. So treat it l'chumra like the netiya, you need an eser, and treat it l'chumra like an ilan, you can't go peshvuas. Anyway, this is the way some of the Rishonim learned. The Gro learns exactly the opposite, and he says you take both kulas, not both chumras. Okay, we'll take this approach. Just remember, it's very unclear here. The Kavas say in the next case, which is also a contradiction, that shalosh zakenis that are not productive, they may be diseased, then if they're enamosos, then they have the same din as shalosh netiyos that don't usually produce that amount of stuff. So you would have thought that maybe over there you give it the same din as the netiyos, and you need 10 of them, but it's not true. Because if they're big enough, then we treat them, even if they're diseased, we still will treat them. And what would be if they would be healthy trees, fig trees? So that's true. And when it says that we treat them like netiyos, it means that since they are the sensitive, that you could go all the way till Rosh Hashanah. So over here we would go lekula. As I said, this is the opposite way of learning it than the Gro. Anyway, so according to this, you'd have to say lefumken. Tzarich Meimar, we'd have to say that in order for me to be matir, the entire Beit Sa'ah, Neti'ah always requires 10, and Zekeinah, even if it doesn't have any fruit because of the fact that it's sick, is always Me'ein Shalosh, would be what it's saying. Furthermore, Stei Kanim, Nidonot Kestei Tvua, when you've got reeds, sometimes people like to have these, they plant reeds, and that way they've got bamboo, whatever, that type of thing. And that is very delicate stuff. And we're talking over your reed bushes, which we treat the same as a stei tvua, which means only till Pesach. Says Rabbi Abu, B'Shem Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, no. This is only in Ogea, where you've got eser kanim bushes, b'sa'atayim, but because that's how people usually grow reeds. But if you would have had 10 within one sa'ah, so then it would have been the equivalent of a stei ilan. Again, this is one approach. There's very, very different approaches. We don't have much time. Maybe we'll review tomorrow. We'll get into some of the alternatives. Okay. The Mishnah said, if you've got eser netiyos in a straight line, they're not called eser netiyos. So, I mean, Shmuel said that when it was nogea shalosh ilanos, even if they're in a straight line and they're not spread out, that he said that you still have sold the land underneath them and they're still considered to be a stei ilan. And here it says, no, they have to be. Isn't that a raya against Shmuel? No, absolutely not. Tamana yedeshen mufuzarot betoch beitzak. Excuse me. When you're talking about ilanot, by definition, they've got these branches going all over the place. They've got their root systems growing all over the place. That's what Shmuel is saying. So there, since they are mefuzar, it doesn't mean mefuzar evenly. That would be insane. I mean, the Gemara is saying exactly the opposite. But even if they're in a straight line, they are essentially mefuzar because of the branches and because of the roots. Therefore, they achieve the equivalent of coverage over the entire Beit Sa'ah. So they're not ro'el tam ki'il mele'ad. The whole field. Bramhacha, the whole point of netiyot is that they're small and they only would cover their own area unless they're spread out precisely over the area that is required for their life nourishment. Therefore, Bramhacha, kula natuni b'makom echad, you can only take care of what is directly there. Okay, we got up to Halacha Vav. Bezrat, I'm sorry for keeping you longer today. Okay. Hopefully we go back to our regular schedule tomorrow, and we'll go back over this again. I said it was a little bit rushed. Okay, everybody.
Having a discussion about the situation.
Yes. Well, first of all, so now the question is whether we should meet today to have we called it last year, what did we call it on Tishrei? We gave a special shir called it, just like we have a siyum. What do we call the siyum of the chag? Ne'ilas hachag.
We called it Ne'ilas Tishrei. So halavai, it would be a Ne'ilah, and we could just complete it. But anyway, if you guys would like to meet today, I mean, it doesn't have to be today. It could be when the situation develops further. If you want to meet today, we meet this afternoon. Are people necha to meet this afternoon? And at what time would that mean? What time would be a reasonable time? Like 6:30 is a good time?
My tours are canceled. Pick your time.
What happened to the big tour to Gaza you were going to take today?
I'm waiting.
All right. Okay, so so shall we say 6? I'll post it. We'll say 6:30 if nobody's got a problem with that. Okay. Okay, so I'll put up a link, ask people whether that's a good time. And Mordechai, is that a good time for you? I see you just appeared on the screen here. Okay, I'll put it up, and I don't want to keep everybody late here. I'll put it up, and we'll discuss it. Bezrat Hashem. Kol tov. Is 6:30 a good time for you?
Yeah, it'll work. Not any earlier, but yeah. But just because I have a dentist appointment, so I'll find
later. Okay, very good.
I just wondered if tomorrow wouldn't be better.
Again, I'll put it up. Obviously, Rosh Chodesh makes things a little tighter. So I'll put it up, and we'll see whether people would prefer tomorrow. I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be nogea precisely what day. So I'll put that up as part of the question. Why don't you post that you suggest tomorrow? That'll start the discussion on the daf. And kol tov, everybody. Bisurot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot, hoshias hamecha, v'oreches nachamasecha, v'reim v'naseim ad ha'olam. Kol tov.